Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Time to make you a smarter Buffalo Bills fan. We only talk to the best and brightest minds that are covering this team. Guys like Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic, who is preparing for tonight's practice at New Era Field. Joining us now in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Matthew, how are you, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Matthew, appreciate your time on a Fairburn Friday. So tonight, this isn't going to be anything different because, you know, we see these joint practices around the league and maybe an inter-squad scrimmage. Nothing like that tonight, right, we should expect?
No, it doesn't sound like they're going to have a legitimate scrimmage the way they used to in the past. Obviously, this is, you know, there's no other team in town. There's none of that. So I think for the most part, this is going to be business as usual for the Bills, just in front of a bigger audience. And they may go with a few more live periods and ramp things up a little bit, but Sean McDermott doesn't like to break from his routine too often. And I think, you know, for the most part, he's going to keep this practice in line with some of the other stuff that they've done throughout camp, but maybe the intensity will be picked up just a bit because, you know, they're in the stadium, they're back in Orchard Park, and they're in front of, you know, a bigger group of fans. But other than that, I would think it's going to be like most of their other practices here.
Matthew, practices leading up to tonight, the last 2 days, A.J. McCarron taking reps with the first team, consecutive days for the first time this training camp. Are we getting closer to determining who that number one quarterback will be going into week one of the preseason?
I think so. I think if we see A.J. McCarron out there tonight, that will be a pretty strong indication that he's going to get time with the ones, you know, in that first preseason game, because it won't necessarily, you know, tell us which way they're trending for, you know, week one of the regular season, but they do need to get ready for that first preseason game. And that means having, you know, a quarterback play with, you know, the group of players that he's going to be out there with the most. And that's probably going to be A.J. McCarron with the ones, Nathan Peterman with the twos, and Josh Allen with the threes. That doesn't mean that, you know, that's the way things are going to shake out by the time the preseason is over, but they do need to get ready for that first game, and McCarron has spent the most time with that first group.
Has A.J. McCarron taken a step forward, or is this by default? In other words, has Nathan Peterman taken a half step back?
I think A.J. McCarron's taken a bit of a step forward from the spring, and I think Nathan Peterman has taken a slight step back from the spring. I don't know that either one has, you know, lit the world on fire and established themselves as, you know, the guy yet, but I think A.J. McCarron's been pretty solid to start training camp. He's not running away with the job by any means, but if anybody took a slight lead, it was McCarron. I don't know that Peterman has been too up and down to this point to be relied upon, you know, as a starting quarterback. I think, you know, he doesn't look the part at the moment. A.J. McCarron at least has been steady and consistent on a practice-by-practice basis. And, you know, if the season were starting tomorrow, I think he would probably be the guy that they would go with.
Matthew, the Cincinnati Bengals releasing Brandon LaFell yesterday. We talk about the lack of depth and the lack of talent the Bills wide receiving core has, but I think we've also seen flashes and bits of potential from unproven commodities in the league show up on that practice field. Yet Brandon LaFell is intriguing to me because he has a history with Carolina, and we know how the Buffalo Bills seem to like that. Any wisdom to at least picking up the phone and talking to Brandon LaFell? People, or should the Bills, with their wide receiving core intact right now, move forward and proceed through training camp as expected?
I think LaFell is somebody that they should kick the tires on at the very least. I think the thing about LaFell that will be you know, interesting to watch is he wanted to be released by the Bengals, and so you have to think he has some interest in sort of picking his spot, and you know, he might have a destination in mind, and I don't know that this is the type of situation that is really attractive to a free agent wide receiver at the moment. Maybe it is because it's a clear path to playing time and a lot of targets, but you know, maybe he's looking to go to a contender with a established quarterback. So depending on where he's at, he could be an option. I think at the very least, you got to pick up the phone and see, because Zay Jones still isn't on the practice field, and you know, not to, you know, slight any of the guys that are out there right now competing for those jobs, but LaFell has more production in this league than just about any of them. So I think it would be wise for the Bills to at least kick the tires and see where his head is at.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, our guest here on a Friday, a Fairburn Friday in sports radio, ESPN Rochester. Matthew, as far as the depth chart at wide receiver, let's put Benjamin at number one, and then let's say Curley's number two. Is there a number three and four right now? Has anybody stepped forward?
You know, I think there's groups of guys that have clearly risen to the top and a couple of guys that have, you know, gone to the bottom. I think Austin Prohl has barely gotten any reps in training camp. He hasn't gotten targeted very often. He's not a guy that, you know, will likely be sneaking into one of those top five spots. I think as far as the top three goes, Benjamin and Curley are kind of cemented in there at the moment. Andre Holmes, who sat out practice yesterday, he's a guy that looks like he's in the top four mix. Malachi Dupree has been getting quite a bit of run up there. Brandon Riley and Rod Streeter as well. That's probably your top group at the moment. Then you have, you know, the rookies, the undrafted guys, you know, Ray McLeod, Robert Foster, Cam Phillips. They're all kind of fighting for some of those other spots. But I would say Riley, Dupree, Holmes, and Streeter are your next bunch of guys after Curley and Benjamin.
And let's face it, we've seen almost all of those guys that you mentioned make at least some kind of play during the course of practice. But when it comes down to it on game day, that's really when the proof will be in the pudding. You'll be able to see if these guys are making drops in a game or if they are continuing to make those kind of big plays that we're seeing in practice on an actual game day.
Exactly. And that's where you're going to learn about these guys and how they make plays in traffic, how, you know, they're dealing with, you know, the physicality that comes with playing an NFL game against an opponent, you know, in pads. And I think since the pads have come on, you've seen Brandon Riley start making some plays. Cam Phillips has made some plays. Andre Holmes is one of those guys that I know a lot of fans aren't, you know, super high on, but he is a guy that has a track record in the NFL. He's proven on special teams. He's good in the red zone. You know, that's a guy that definitely, you know, has a role on this team as long as he continues to do what he's done and stay healthy. But, you know, this is where you learn about these guys, whether they can play teams, whether, you know, they can handle themselves over the course of a game. And, you know, you can do it in shorts and T-shirts as long as you want. But what really matters is producing during the games. And I think we'll start to learn about these guys starting, you know, next Thursday against the Panthers.
Matthew Fairburn from The Athletic, our guest. Matthew, there was one practice, I want to say it was Wednesday, where Kyle Williams looked like he was 21, three consecutive plays with sacks. In fact, the whole defensive line was great, and me being the pessimist I am, I kind of worried about the offensive line here. Matthew, should Bills fans be worried about the offensive line after some of the play this week out at Fisher?
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line was a concern heading into camp, and I don't think they've done a whole lot to ease those concerns. And that's, again, that's one of those positions that until you're in a game setting, it's hard to totally know what you're dealing with. You know, the Bills' defensive line is good. You know, Kyle Williams is a very good player. Starlo Tulele, Trent Murphy, Jerry Hughes, Harrison Phillips, these are really good players. And so, you know, you would expect the defense to have the upper hand on those guys. But, you know, you'd like to see them hold their own and maybe get better, you know, as the games happen, because you would think training against the Bills' defensive line would be, you know, a pretty good test for this offensive line and help them get better and gel together. So I guess that's the silver lining, is they're getting a really solid test on a day-to-day basis. But at the same time, you know, these aren't the most established, talented guys. I mean, Vlad Dukas and, you know, Ryan Groy or Russell Bodine, those guys don't have a ton of experience in the league, at least not a ton of experience playing at a really high level. They've played a lot of snaps. They just haven't proven that they're anything more than, you know, mediocre. And, you know, Jordan Mills is another guy that, you know, has always been a spot, you know, on the offensive line where you're concerned because of the way he plays some weeks. So they have a lot to prove in the preseason, but there's, you know, reinforcements are not coming. So they need to, you know, shape up here, and they've got, you know, roughly a month to get ready for the regular season.
Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic, you mentioned the defensive line. These are good players. One name that you didn't bring up, and a name that we haven't really heard a lot about since camp opened, Shaq Lawson. Shaq Lawson, I'm curious as to what you think the future of Shaq Lawson is for this team, on this team. You know, Gene and I joke that we wouldn't be shocked if on Thursday Shaq Lawson ends the first quarter of play with 8 sacks. They put him on display, and then he ends up getting shipped out following that game on Thursday, a la Sammy Watkins last year. But what have you seen out of Shaq Lawson, if anything, and how can you project Shaq Lawson as a Buffalo Bill in 2018?
You know, I think he's had some good moments. I really do, especially this last week with Trent Murphy sitting out with a groin injury. You know, he's been batting passes down at the line of scrimmage, making tackles for loss. He's still not where you'd want him to be as a pass rusher, and I think that may be, you know, the biggest concern with him. But it's possible that they trade him. I mean, he's a guy that probably still has some value and, you know, isn't exactly – in line to have a huge role on this team, but I don't know that they're going to give him away for nothing. I don't think they're just going to cut this guy just because he's not an ideal fit for them. I think they're going to wait and see if they can get decent value. If they can, they're certainly not going to, you know, turn their nose away at that. I think they're definitely going to consider that if it's an option, but I don't think they're going to force anything with this guy. He's playing okay. He's still mostly the guy that he's been, probably a little bit better, a little bit quicker, in a little bit better shape, still defending the run pretty well. If he can stay healthy, he's a decent rotational piece for you. But they're not going to sit there and turn away a good offer either. So I think, you know, there's a better than average chance that he's on this roster in 2018. But as we saw last preseason, you know, that can change quickly. And, you know, if an offer comes along, Brandon Bean isn't afraid to pull the trigger.
Well, and one thing that's helping this conversation about the possibility of Lawson maybe getting traded is you have somebody like Trent Murphy. Now, two-part question, Matthew. One being, kind of got dinged there a little bit. Do we know anything about this injury? Is it minor? Is something to monitor here in regards to Murphy, because he's got coming off the major injury? And then, two, we had a chance to speak to him this week, and you had a great piece in The Athletic on Murphy. It just seems like, Matthew, this is somebody that is custom-built for Buffalo, New York.
Yeah, custom-built for Buffalo, New York, and custom-built to play for Sean McDermott. I mean... just a tenacious worker and a guy with a ton to prove after getting suspended and, you know, coming off the torn ACL. So this is a guy that I think fits the personality of this team to a T. I don't know that the groin injury is anything to get overly worked up about just yet. But, you know, obviously you watch those types of things when guys are coming off ACL injuries, whether they're favoring a certain, you know, part of their body and, you know, getting hurt as a result. Obviously, you don't want to see soft tissue injuries because those tend to linger. But this is a guy that will be able to play through it, I think, and will be able to, you know, get himself right and make sure he's ready for the season. And I think he's just a great fit. I mean, he's not going to be, you know, I don't think, you know, completely dominant edge rusher for this team. But I do think he's going to be a really solid addition. And he's got, you know, 8 to 10 sack potential, as he's shown in the past. And he's also going to be a force against the run just because of the way he plays and the style of game he plays. He's a bull on the end. I mean, he's going to toss guys around, and he's definitely going to be getting into the backfield often as long as he can stay healthy. And I think that's part of what makes this defensive line so much stronger than it was a year ago. Guys like Trent Murphy and Starlo Tulele, who can push guys like Shaq Lawson and Ricky Hatley, Adolphus Washington to the bench and give you an even stronger rotation all the way through.
Matt, when you're a first-round draft pick, plenty of hype will surround you as a player. We've certainly heard a lot of hype around Tremaine Edmonds this week. We had Chris Brown on with us, said, you know, his floor is probably Daryl Talley, his ceiling is Ray Lewis. And then, of course, LeSean McCoy mentioning after practice yesterday that this guy might be, in 2 years, one of the best players in the league. You've been at practice, you've been watching Tremaine Edmonds. We know physically the guy is a freak, but, you know, is, Matthew, the hype around Tremaine Edmonds real?
Yeah, it's real. Comparing him to a Hall of Famer is a little early. He was picked in the middle of the first round, and I don't want to say that he doesn't have that potential, but it's been a week of training camp. You know, he's only been on an NFL player for a week here, so I'm looking forward to seeing him in games. I mean, look, he has unique skills for the position. His wingspan is almost 7 feet, which makes him, you know, a terror to deal with in pass coverage. And he's shown that the last few days, picking off A.J. McCarron and then almost picking him off a third time. He picked him off twice and then almost a third time. So he's really good in pass coverage. He moves really well. He's shown that he can rush the passer. But let's see him, you know, in game action and let him, you know, prove himself. I think there's plenty of reason for the hype. I mean, anybody who looks at him gets excited about his potential just because of the size and the speed. But I think there's a lot more that goes into playing the linebacker position. I think he has all those qualities between the ears and, with instincts. But let's see them on the field before we're ready to, you know, carve out his bust in Canton.
Matthew, you're somebody who loves covering the draft. You know the whole process, so I feel comfortable asking you a question almost. I'm not putting you on the spot here when I ask you, well, Edmonds goes 16 overall, and yes, the hype is there, and you see the potential. My gosh, you would think that he would have gone higher. Why wouldn't Baltimore have actually kept the pick? Why wouldn't a team have reached? What was the downside about Edmonds from all the draft nicks, if you will, entering the draft?
You know, it's interesting. I think some of it comes down to positional value because, you know, some people don't think an inside linebacker is necessarily, worth that pick. I think, you know, that could be part of it. I think, you know, there was some concern about his ability to quickly diagnose plays, but he was 19 years old playing his last college season. He just turned, 20. So that's only natural. I think, there were some of those things that just pop up with him being that young, but there was a scout I talked to that covers that area and who, studied that school closely. And he said that Tremaine Edmonds and his brother were among the highest, football character guys he's ever seen. And, the family is just top notch. And that, despite the fact that he's 20 years old, Tremaine Edmonds is very much capable of, being the centerpiece of a defense. And I think, of course there were some concerns, but at the same time, 16th overall for a middle linebacker is pretty good. I mean, there aren't too many guys that are going to go a lot higher than that. Roquan Smith maybe was considered the more well-rounded guy, but I think at the same time, Tremaine Edmonds didn't have too many flaws. And if anything, it was just the fact that, one of those things where maybe you want to see him be a little bit more consistent against the run and, filling gaps and things like that. But I don't think there were too many holes in this game because you're looking at a guy that went really high at a position where, you know, guys don't usually go that high.
Matthew Fairburn joining us in the sports bar. Matthew, you're always gracious with your time. I want to give you plenty of space here on the floor to tell people what you're working on for The Athletic and how they can read more of your work.
Yeah, we've got a few things we're working on. You know, I'm writing about Vontae Davis at the moment. Hopefully in the next few days can have something ready on him. And obviously we'll keep it rolling with the daily observations from camp. And soon we'll have some games to cover. So this will be it's a good time for people to jump on board. And we've got the hockey guys hard at work after the Jeff Skinner trade last night as well. So plenty of content up there for people to consume over on theathletic.com.
Yep, I've got the app on my phone now, Matthew. Matthew, appreciate the time today. Enjoy covering the practice tonight.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Talk to you later. Matthew Fairburn of The Athletic Buffalo joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia here on ESPN Rochester. All right, Gene, should we move on to appetizers?
Yeah, or Urban Meyer just put out his statement.
Oh.
Blah, 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 blah.
Do we really want to know what he has to say?
Ah.
I really don't know. I really don't know if I want to know what he has to say.
I understand there are more questions to be answered. I look forward to doing just that with the independent investigators, blah, 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 blah. Please know that truth is the ultimate power. Yeah, he sounds like he's, you know, denying it.
Okay, listen. This case isn't that complicated. If he knew about this, if he did nothing and then lied to the media about knowing about this, well, he should be fired.
It's okay to lie to media.
Next case.
Yeah.
This is that serious of an issue. If he knew about it, didn't do anything about it, and then lied to the media about knowing about it, then Urban Meyer should lose his job. Done. Okay, so we've got that statement out there.
Yeah.
Great.
Just for what it's worth.
NFL appetizers on the way next. We serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. We'll tell you a little bit more about the expansions happening at Ad Pro Sports Training Center for the Buffalo Bills. And if you're a fantasy football player.
Uh-oh.
Exhale. We'll give you the latest on Antonio Brown next with NFL appetizers on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester with another Bills Camp Live update.
Acquired this offseason in free agency, new Bills defensive end Trent Murphy joined us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia and told us how influential his father was in his upbringing and how it prepared him for a life in football.
Yeah, he's the best. He's a little crazy, but he's absolutely the best. He welded handles on a water heater. I mean, you name it. We were out there doing it, picking up rocks, doing yard work, lifting. I mean, he was a gym fanatic, and he's 6'7", 315. Couldn't beat him in a foot race till I was like 22, so shows you how athletic he is. But great guy. I mean, really, really owe him everything. You know, taught me. He's a role model. He shows up to work every day, so I got no excuse.
For the latest from St. John Fisher College, listen to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia for Bills Camp Live, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.